Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voice Rising. Today, I am in the studio with author and teacher, Celine Caloni-Williams. And welcome, Celine, to our show.
Hi, Kara. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. I believe you're in Switzerland. I just was saying I'm in Berlin, Germany, and this is very much an international happening.
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. So I'm excited today to explore with you more about the power of vibrational frequency, healing practices, spiritual exercises, and learn more about the mother mantra and the secret rites of shamanic yoga tradition. I believe this is your newest book, The Mother Mantra. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, it is. It is my new book, The Mother Mantra, The Ancient Shamanic Yoga of Non-Duality. Yes.
Ah, very beautiful. So if we step back into a place, if we start in a very easy place, if we step back into your childhood, would we find yourself immersed in storytelling and music and play and the imagination?
Oh, yes. When I was young, I loved stories. I perceived that through stories, we can heal ourselves. Because the things are the way we tell them. And so through stories, we can, stories, the way we tell things is the way we create events. Because nothing is objective in this mm-hmm. world. This world is symbolic. And is imaginal, as I like to say. And mm-hmm, so through mm-hmm. images, through story, through storytelling, we can create our reality. The ancients knew that very well because they perfectly knew that myths are creational events. Myths don't describe reality. They create reality.
Yeah. So what is one of your most powerful memories where you were deeply connected to your imagination and creating story and that led you to manifest a reality?
Oh, I remember when I was young, I had a friend, Laura, and she always complained because she said I had a mom who doesn't give me freedom. I had a very suffered birth because of that, and then I couldn't create my life as I wanted because of this mother. And one day, my mother who was a great storyteller, told her, listen, Laura, you can describe your story in a completely different way. You see, Laura, you have a great warrior ancestor. I can see them. And your warrior ancestors wanted your birth like it was, because they had to forge, to shape your mood, to shape your behavior, to shape your psyche from the beginning. And then, Laura, you have a so powerful nomad ancestors, and they want you always go here and then and have experiences. But if your mom didn't keep you in the house, how could you feel the need of going, the need of freedom? So you see, Laura, everything is perfect the way it is. And so I think that my mom taught me the power of storytelling since I was very, very young. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Phenomenal. So it sounds also a little bit what I know of your story. I love that your mama told Laura, you know, if you wouldn't stay in the house, you wouldn't know this yearning that we all have to seek, right? And I believe you also are a seeker. You've undergone many long journeys in search of new teachers, new experiences, in search of the ancient truths that were lost and now are being found again, you know, in our time. Tell us the story of when you first received the impulse to travel far and wide and to seek out the first shaman or to be in the first ashram. How did it feel? How old were you? And what brought you on that journey of knowing that you wanted to dig even deeper for truth, even if it meant climbing over many mountains or flying on many long plane rides?
Oh, beautiful images, Cara. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Very poetic images.
Yes.
And when I was only 19, I went to Sri Lanka, and there I was initiated to the path of shamanic yoga. It was more than 30 years ago, by my teacher, Michael Williams, who, despite his English name, was a Tamil, a yoga and a shamanism scholar. And when I came back from Sri Lanka, I studied psychology. And then after my degree here in Switzerland, I met the famous psychoanalyst James Hillman. And he taught me how to build a bridge between Eastern and Western traditions. And after that, I founded a school here in Switzerland, an academy of shamanic yoga and Mother Mantra teachings, because Mother Mantra is the core teachings of shamanic yoga. Mm-hmm. And the academy is open to everyone, but since the beginning, I had a lot of psychoanalysts and psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, counselors, and life coaches in my school, and they help to spread the shamanic yoga teachings all over Europe. And so now we have hundreds of students in the school doing courses, most of which are online and so can be attended remotely.
Right.
And
right.
I'm so happy to to be able to teach that, because I think this world really need a soul hunting. You know, Cara, we are in an age of changes. Technologies mm-hmm. are change our world so quickly. And we really need to bring back soul in all the aspects of our lives, in the economic model, in the political models, in the family models, and in mm-hmm, our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Share with us, what is the difference between shamanic yoga and other yoga practices that people here online might know?
Oh, yes. The biggest difference is ecstasy.
Ecstasy! Woo!
Yeah. Ecstasy. Ecstasy, because all the shamanic yoga practices and exercises, healing exercises, are performed in a state of ecstasy, which is a non-dual state of consciousness, a trance-like state, a state of self-transcendence, which is reached by a phenomenon that we called mystical marriage.
Mm.
Mystical marriage.
Yeah. Tell us some more. Is this where you marry the mystery, the divine beloved, as Rumi would say, the beloved, or is this a marriage ceremony where we give ourselves or devote ourselves or say yes to being a partner with the other creator? Like, we could say it's a co-creation process?
Absolutely, Cara. Yes, it is. You perfectly get the point. Yes, it's a path of joy and creativity. It's a path of happiness, because being married by the divine, by your invisible lover, is eudaimonia. You see, eudaimonia is a old Greek word, and for Plato and Socrates meant be accompanied by a good guide spirit, a good mm-hmm. daimon, and it was synonymous of happiness and of complete fulfillment. And in order to explain what mystical marriage is, Cara, I want to use storytelling. Can I?
Yeah, please do. Yes.
I would like to tell the myth, the story of love and Psyche. Psyche was a very fortunate girl, because she was married with the most beautiful god of Olympus, and she had everything from him, everything. But the god set a condition. Only one condition. You can never see me. I will love you during the night, and I will give you everything you want, everything you can imagine. I will give you during the day, but you can't see me. You have to trust me. I will come to you in the darkness, only in the darkness, during the night, and you have to trust me. But Psyche was a very young and very naive girl, mm-hmm. and her stepsisters, out of envy, them, oh, listen, who is he? Who is he? How can you be sure that he is a god? And if he was a demon or a monster, you must see him. And so one bad night, Psyche lighted a candle in order to see her lover. And in that moment, she saw the most beautiful god of Olympus, and she understood her great fortune. But at the same time, a drop of wax fell on the body of Eros, the love of the god of love, and he woke up and he realized that Psyche had betrayed him. Mm-hmm. And so he left her. He left her alone. And Psyche found herself alone and abandoned, and she undertaken a very hard life in a very hard world in order to be able to rejoin, to reach again her loved Eros. And this is our story, you see, Cara. It's the story of everyone, because our psyche at the beginning as everything, and but it is unaware, it is naive, it needs to grow and to be liberated, and so love helps us through initiations, rituals. And he uses three tools.
Let's stop here. We need to take a break. It's a very powerful story. We're going to stop there with the three tools to the initiation. And we'll be back with Selena Caloni Williams.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Conflict comes in many forms and often triggers a fight-or-flight response. Some of us gravitate toward conflict, while many will stop at little to nothing to avoid it. Unfortunately, what we resist will persist, which often forces us to face our fear and deal with it head-on. Join me during my show, Conflict Rising, as I discuss the important role of conflict with leaders who have moved through it successfully. Tune in Thursdays at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember, it's always darkest before the dawn.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com. and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back to Voice Rising. I am Cara Johnstead, and I am in studio today with the author and teacher, Celine Caloni Williams. And Celine, you just shared with us a beautiful, and I would say it's a powerful story. And I did know the story, but I had a question that arose while you were telling the story. And I would love to know, before we go into the initiation part, if I could ask you this question. Are you open for it?
Yes, good.
When I was listening to the, I was listening to this question of, you know, psyche and eros, and thinking about, for me as a person who works a lot with the voice, I believe that deep within we have a guiding voice. We have a voice that's there in the dark times, in the light times. We have our deep intuition that is guiding us to explore also the shadow sides. And so I was thinking at the end of the story, is the moral of the story, you know, when we are told do not go into the, you know, do not look or do not go into the darkness, do not open your eyes. I was trying to figure out the moral of the story, because for me, it would mean, you know, stay on the lit path and never, ever look behind the trees or into the forest or the deeper layers that we have within ourselves. And I can't imagine that that's what you mean. So what is your take on this powerful story that's been given to us for many, many decades, right?
Yeah, the moral of the story, Cara, is that we came in this world with a powerful tool, which is faith. But we lose the faith because we want to see beyond. And this is not absolutely bad, because if we don't lose our beloved Eros, our beloved faith, if we don't lose our power, we can't grow. So psyche lose the relationship with Eros. In order to grow up, and Eros looks for her through initiations of life. You see, love look for us through initiations ritual, but usually people called these initiation rituals misfortunes or bad events, but they are not. They are initiations rituals through which love is looking for us. And I think if one can see everything from this perspective, the entire life changes, because you are no longer the victim of the events, but you start, you begin to be the co-creator of the events. You see, as I was saying, love is looking for us through three important tools, which are money, falling in love, passion, and death. Because of these three archetypes, are able to create a lot of images, a lot of events, which are images in our life. And through these images, our psyche can grow up. And finally, when we meet Eros, when we meet love again, is wonderful. You see, having lost love means having lost the possibility to think through the art. People normally in this world think only through their mind and not through the art. But finding love again means being able to think simultaneously with the mind thought and with the heart thought. And this is a kind of overmind. This is a kind of over-awareness, supermind and super-awareness, you see. Life is about that. We have to find the lost relationship with love in order to be more aware and having a new thinking method which goes not only through rationality but also through the art, through love.
Yeah. So how did you come to find the Mother Mantra, and why is it so important that, what you're saying now, that it's very important that we don't go through the rational mind, but that we really feel the love. So is the Mother Mantra a pure love vibrational force?
Yes, yes, it is. It's a vibration which remembers us continuously that we are loved. And when one can remember that is loved, he can leave fear goes away. You see, fear is our worst limitation. If you are able to let fear go away, we can hear the voice of our guide spirit, and we can go through events, knowing that events are not mechanical, caused by the law of cause and effect, but events are, as the ancient said, events are entities, spirits, gods and goddesses, and so we can become co-creator of events if we find our guide spirit, because we can recognize the true substance of reality, which is soul and not matter.
So a soul force, a soul vibrational force. And the healing path, if I understand this correctly, it does not pass through the mind, but through vibration, and the vibration leads the body to appropriate the mantra, and then the message of the mantra is released into the body, and that message is of liberation.
Oh yes, because we have a vibrational consciousness in ourselves, and when this mind itself appropriates the mantra's vibration, the meaning of the mantra, the meaning that the mantra carries is released. And the meaning that the Mother Mantra carries is love, is remember that you are loved.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
So it's an antidote against the fear.
So you talk also in your work about programming and being deprogrammed. You talk about, you know, our conditionings that we come in, probably, I'm assuming, into the world very open vibrational field, a very open soul force, and then we take on conditionings, right? So that kind of brings me to the essence of voice, because I love voice. I'm passionate about voice. How do we program or deprogram using the many layers of vibrational voice frequencies, such as intense thoughts, affirmations, seed sounds, spoken word, chanting, singing. Is voice maybe the missing link to taking that rational mind and that emotional heart and the feeling world and being able to have a vibrational channel that's running through us?
Oh, the voice, yes, the voice is an important tool. Through voice, we can speak to the spirits and to our guide spirit.
But
we have to use a silent voice. I mean, we always have two kind of voice. One is loud, and we need it to speak with the other people. And another one is a silent. Even the repetition of the mantra is much more powerful when it's silent. Because you see, for instance, my teacher used to say, Selene, you don't have only two eyes, you have four eyes. Two are looking outside, and two mm-hmm. are looking inside. And you don't have only one voice, you have two voices, one speaking outside and one speaks inside. Mm-hmm. When you want to speak with the spirits, you should use the inner voice, the voice of a silence. Silence as a voice, and is very powerful. And it remembers me the darkness of love, Eros, who wanted to reach Psyche only in the darkness. Darkness, silence are powerful tools, and they are not absence of images or absence of sound. Silence is full of sound, is a powerful sound, which through which we can talk to the spirits and to the god and goddesses. Because you see, first thing we have to do in order to speak with divinity is to shut up and leave divinity talk and listen to the talk of divinity. And but for the human beings, normally this is very difficult, because in the very silence, human beings usually feel stress, and they perceive anxiety and fear, because they are not used to the silence. Silence means no significance, no meanings. I don't know anything, or better, I know, but I don't know. And so I leave any meanings. I leave everything. I give myself. This is the silence, in my opinion, a complete surrender. And so only in this situation, the divine can speak.
So is it like a surrender, as far as that we open our body more, thinking it more about being an instrument, like Francis from Assisi would say, Lord, make me an instrument for your peace. So we allow the divinity to move through us.
Oh, perfectly, yes, yes. Because when divinity starts talking, then after a while you can understand that the voice of the divinity is your own voice, because you and the divine are distinct but not separated, and this is the mystical marriage, the realization that you and the divine, you are distinct but not separated, and your voice is the voice of the divine. But in order to reach that, you have to pass through a complete silence, and this silence is a condition of total surrender. And if you have a fear, and usually human beings have fear, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense. I mean, I think it's, I know the journey very well because I'm also, you know, doing a lot of meditation. At the same time, I know that there's a tricky part that we have many people that have not expressed things that are holding them back. And so they can do a lot of healing through expression into the audible voice or into the writing voice, into the spoken word voice. And of course, we can gather a lot of wisdom and insights by tuning into our own voice, which we can only hear more clearly, or the voice of existence, when we go into reflective moments of silence. So I would probably say that it's a balancing of both worlds. I seem, as a singer, to find divinity also while singing in an audible, in an outer voice. But I think that, I mean, in, with respect to the book and the work you're doing, I do understand that. I do understand that we can really learn a lot and open that space within by being quieter and tuning into that place of resonance with the divine. Yeah. It's a fascinating path, especially for you who studied psychology, because there's also a lot of work in the other direction, right? About trying to understand those different voices in our head. We're going to take a break, Selena. It was a great... We're going to be back, and then we're going to look at that practice, that beautiful practice, the Mother Mantra practice, and the initiation practice, and all the tools that Selena has for our lives.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. We are back with the beautiful Selena Colonia Williams. We're talking about the Mother Mantra and shamanic yoga. Selena, you described the exercises and practices of the Mother Mantra in four sections, if I understand them correctly. The first part dissolves the constructs of the ego. The second invokes ancient spirits and deities for their aid in this endeavor. The third embraces a divine androgynous tantric union, which transcends sexual identity and spirituality and fuses that with the divine. And the fourth combines the previous three and together unlocks this amazing ecstatic expanded state of consciousness. Do these four parts normally happen one after the other, or can they come in bursts, you know, a little bit at a time?
No, they can be simultaneously. They can happen simultaneously, yes. They can happen simultaneously. The first movement has something to do with understanding the dream state. You see, we live in a state of a dream because everything here in this world is symbolic, is just as it was true, but is not really true. According to the tradition of Bardotus Grol, which is the Tibetan Book of Death, which is a shamanic tradition, the dyings are called to realize that what they have lived is just as it was true, but it was not really true. It was just an image, a dream, a projection. And so we use the mother mantra to withdraw projections. And this is means soul-making. Soul-making means taking all those objects, people, feelings, events that we have met in the course of our lives back to their original state, which is dream, projections. And this is the best way to stop, to be victim of events. And to be the co-creator of events, I think.
So what tools do you use while journeying, while coming back to the dreamlike state or a state of non-projection? What tools do you use to go into that, I'm assuming it's like a trance-like state, and then come out of the other end very safely? Do you work with drums and rattles? Do you sing? Do you work with sound or affirmations?
Oh, yes. Different tools, drums, affirmations, and also active visualization. We enter a place called Imaginal Forest. Imaginal forest is an inner space. It is between conscious and unconscious. It is between visible and invisible. It is the no man's land where all the images which become events take place. And so when you go there, when you reach this threshold, the imaginal forest, of course you become the co-creator of events, because all the events take place in that dimension. And entering the imaginal forest is a shamanic art, and is very, very useful, I think, for the present human beings.
The present human being, because we are lacking a little bit in rituals, I think. It's that's where you were talking about at the beginning of the show, is that our world has, or I don't want to say our world, because there's still many, many, many communities that do have rituals and traditions that are still in place. But in the Western world, let's put it like that, we are forgetting even the simple prayer before dinner, or we're forgetting maybe to even have a marriage ceremony or a beautiful ceremony when someone is dying, right? So the art of ritual is lost, and it is coming back, I think. But is that your sense also, that people are missing making meaning of their lives through ceremony and ritual?
Yes, a ritual is a tool to to join together two dimensions, visible and invisible. Our world has lost the invisible side of things, and this is why our world has lost rituals dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You see, rituals, all the rituals are journeys between one side from another to great of a great threshold. Eating is this ritual. Sleeping, getting asleep is this ritual. When you mm-hmm. get asleep, you cross the great threshold and you travel in the underworld. But also when you eat something, you cross the great threshold because you carry a life, be it an apple or a carrot or an orange. You carry a life between one side to another of the great threshold. Mm-hmm. Breathing is a journey between one side to another of the great threshold, because every time a breath ends, before the new one starts, you undertake a journey into the underworld. And this world, the present human beings have lost the invisible side of things. And this is why they can't have a true knowledge of things, because knowing only one side of something doesn't mean to know it in reality. You see what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, of you course. Must... Yeah. Yeah. So can we shift our states of consciousness through different breath exercises, different breathing
yes.
patterns?
Yes, and, yes, Anthony.
Yeah, and is it important
yes.
for the people on the and that are listening, is it important for us to find good guides when we are moving between those thresholds, when we're going in between the dream states and the subconscious or the underworld states, which we can change with breath patterns or sound frequencies? Is it important to find good shamans or good guides to support us? I can imagine that if we don't have experience, maybe it's important to find a good teacher.
Absolutely. It's very important. A shaman is a psychopomp. A psychopomp is a ferryman. Is someone who carries you from one side to another of a great threshold. And most mm-hmm. of them are singers. I went to Siberia and Mongolia many, many times. I did so many travels to Siberia and Mongolia because I have fallen in love with Siberian and Mongolian shamanism. And most of the shamans there are singers, throat singers.
Mm-hmm.
And... you see, through singing a song, through telling a story, through changing or control the breath, through breath control, through asanas, which are yoga postures, and through active imagination, through love, devotion, surrender. A shaman can carry you through one side to another of the great threshold. And
No, I was just thinking as a singer, because not only are we portals, but the voice itself is positioned right, you know, at the entryway also. If we talk about food being a threshold or breath, the voice is right in that threshold to our body. I mean, that's where it is, right? It's not in our elbow and it's not in our big toe or our kneecap. It's right there, right between the heart and our beautiful mind. And I think that's the voice is a very powerful tool that we have to go between all these different dimensions. So, Selena, do you offer these ceremonies also and these rituals as part of your retreats that you're doing?
Oh, yes, 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 of course. During my retreats, I accompany people from one side to another of the great trivials into a state of ecstasy. We enter the imaginal forest, and it is amazing because when you carry someone on the other side, they can see everything upside down. They can realize, but the mind perspective is a perspective of suffering and pain, and so they can get rid of that, and right. They can see that nature as another completely different perspective than that one of the mind. Nature's perspective is beauty, and this is a horizontal position, not vertical as the mind's perspective. Vertical perspective means that there is not good and bad, right and wrong, but there is only inclusiveness. Nature teaches you the power of inclusiveness, mm-hmm. which is a much greater power than ethics, I mean.
Right, yeah. So the Mother Mantra is your newest book. It's the only book, I believe, that is in English. You have other books that are in French and in the Italian language, if I'm correct. And the Mother Mantra is now released in the English language. What are your next creative projects that you are doing, and how can people know about your events that are coming up?
Oh, yes, I'm. People can reach my website, which is selenecalloniwilliams.com, and through my website they can follow all my events. I'll be in U.S. in October for a conference in San Jose, the Science and Non-Duality Conference. I will give a lecture and a workshop there, and then I'll be in Seattle for a book presentation and also for a seminar about crossing the great threshold. And people can follow me through my website, through my Facebook page, and I offer a lot of webinars, not only in Italian but also in English, and about my books, I just finished to write a book about Shilin Gyoko, which is the Japanese art of forest bathing. Forest bathing is a beautiful, really beautiful art, which reminds me the art of entering the imaginal forest, and this is why I dedicated myself to Shilin Gyoko. And now in my Swiss Academy is possible to study the art of forest bathing and become a forest therapy guide, which is a form of non therapy in reality, because you see, if we allow therapy to be seen as the only go-to solution for all kinds of problem, we lose the other side of things, the aesthetics experience. In my opinion, aesthetic experience is a great alternative to therapeutic models, and right. we have to rediscover that through art and the beauty and nature. We have to rediscover an alternative to therapy, not an alternative therapy, but an alternative to therapy.
So is that your vision for our world, that we discover, that we rediscover? There's a saying, beauty can save this world. Is that your vision for this world, that we have an alternative to therapy, which is to dive back into our mystical roots?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Beauty can save the world is my favorite sentence. Yes. Yes, because beauty is inclusiveness. You see how many wars, how many violence we had done according to our values of good and bad, true and false, right and wrong. Inclusive, we have absolutely to reach inclusiveness in order
Beautiful.
To be peaceful and happy.
Yes. Selena Caloni-Williams, it was very beautiful and wonderful to have you at Voice Rising today. Let's leave with those words. Beauty can save the world. The Mother Mantra is her newest book. Thank you so much for being with me on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you, Cara, for having me. Thank you, everybody. Thanks.
Ciao, bella.
Ciao, bellissima. Ciao. Grazie.